In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It really is a very fine altar. Notice St. Peter on this side and St. Paul on that. St. Paul with his tremendous sword. The sword of the Spirit. Why St. Paul and the sword? The sword of the Spirit. And St. Paul, the sword of the Word of God. St. Paul himself lists amongst the weapons of the Christian the sword of the Word of God. The Word of God, which should be slashing to pieces this wretched modern way of life of ours, this wretched godlessness, this mass of people living as though the Lord God is completely unimportant, as though we men know better how to run the universe, and we've kicked God out and we've done a good job, and we're much better off without him. Heaven help us. Imagine what St. Paul would be saying today. Well, and St. Peter with the keys. They're manly figures. This is not a religion for wimps or for softies. It's a tough religion. It demands sacrifice of all of us. He that would be my disciple, let him take up his cross, let him renounce himself, take up his cross every day and follow me. And then you and I want the soft life, just like everybody else around us has the soft life. Woe to us if we want the soft life and to try to get to heaven at the same time, because we won't do it. It's one or the other. It's either heaven or the soft life, but not both. As a saint famously said, you can't dance with the devil in this life and enjoy with God in the next. It's got to be one or the other. And the mass of people today, the poor mass of people, are dancing with the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. They think they're enjoying themselves. Just wait until they reach that terrible moment when all of us come before the throne of God to be judged. The mass of people today, I believe I said this 3 years ago, it's still true, if not still more so. The mass of people today are living in a great fantasy, a great dream. The fantasy that we men control reality. Like, yes, even we control God, or God is something under our control. God is nothing that is not under our control. There you are. We have, for instance, got a new economics, is what they're now talking about. A new paradigm in economics. What complete nonsense. And the laws of economics are going to, the real laws are going to come swinging back. A lot of people are going to lose most of what they think they have. And they're going to be very bitter because they haven't anything else. They've been taught, they've learned, they've believed, they've accepted that material things are what life is about. Material pleasures are the greatest pleasures in life, the most valuable things to pursue. Money, vacations, expensive motor cars, always a bigger house and a better motor car, more TV sets or whatever it is. Doodads, gizmos, Look at the expensive, glossy catalogs that come tumbling through the postbox, advertising a mass of completely useless things, like the latest toaster that can play golf. My toaster's got a lower handicap than yours. Ridiculous. The devil has people completely fooled. He's got them completely tied up in these completely unimportant things. So that, I'm sure you may know, when they're on their deathbed, full of tubes in the hospital, they want to know the latest prices on Wall Street. They still want to know what the stocks and shares are doing on Wall Street. Poor souls, how our Lord has compassion upon us. Miserior super tuobam, says our Lord. I have pity on the crowd. But he won't take away our free will. He won't make us go to heaven against our own free will. If we choose to go the way of the devil and fall into hell, our Lord won't stop us. He's on the brink of hell, so to speak, with his arms outstretched on the cross, blood flowing from his hands and side and feet. Please don't fall into hell, dear soul whom I love and whom I created and who on this cross I died for. But so many, many souls want to go to hell. The mass of people today building their lives on sand, just like it says in the gospel. The man who neglected the gospel will be likened unto a man who built his house on sand. And then the winds came and blew, and the rain beat down upon that house, and it was washed away. And the lives of many people today, the way many people have constructed their lives today, is going to be washed away. And a lot of people are going to be hurting. And they won't know what has hit them, or they won't want to know what has hit them. People are not as innocent as they pretend. People easily give themselves a very clean bill of health in front of the Lord God. It's very much to be doubted whether the Lord God thinks the way they do. May he have mercy upon us all. And then the man who built his life upon the gospel, upon the real faith, upon the real religion, in the real church — there's only one real church, and it's not that Mickey Mouse Novus Ordo — the man who built his life on the real faith was like a man who built his house on the rock. And the winds came and the rain beat down, and that house stood because it was built on solid foundations. In the time of the Roman emperors, and at other times in the history of the Catholic Church, there have been terrible persecutions. Normally and logically, my dear friends, we're heading for a persecution today. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where. But logically, Satan has more and more control, and we are a burr under his saddle. We are a serious burr beneath his saddle. He may be neglecting us for the moment because we just aren't important enough. There are just not enough of us. And in God's infinitely wise providence, maybe that's one reason why we are not so numerous as we naturally think we should be. That's as God knows. But there have been persecutions, and the Catholics keeping the real faith have been heavily persecuted. And the winds came, and the persecutions beat down, and the blood flowed, but that house stood. And you and I, my dear friends, we have got to be thinking and believing, hoping, loving, the three great virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and living in God's grace in such a way that whatever winds or rains do beat down or blow, the house stands on the rock. And you may think, well, those Catholics that were persecuted and destroyed, because of course the Catholic faith has in certain parts of the world been destroyed. The persecution was fierce enough to simply destroy the faith. And you may say, well, at that point, surely their house was knocked down. Those souls went to heaven. The souls that stood up to the persecution and stayed faithful under the persecution, they went to heaven. The world around us gets madder, crazier, more confused day by day. It's an exponential increase in confusion, you might think, or say, or a geometric rather than arithmetic progression in madness. The madness is accelerating. People are losing their heads. They're losing their common sense. They are worse wanting to lose their common sense. They want all of the old landmarks to go. They want all of the old anchors to slip. They want the whole old way of life just to give way and go away so that they can happily and unperturbedly, without the conscience perturbing them, they want to just enjoy according to the new way. It's deliberate. Had I been here last year, I would have talked, I'm sure, about Littleton, Colorado, the school shootings. Apparently 2 days ago, there was a 13-year-old child that took a gun and killed their teacher in Florida. Littleton, you may remember, was those two boys, good-looking boys, from a handsome suburb of Denver, Colorado. Good-looking boys with nice homes, beautiful motor cars, undoubtedly wonderful air conditioning, the best in central heating, you name it. And yet these two boys came into that school with guns and bombs and with the intention to kill as many as they could. And then when they were killing, they enjoyed seeing the blood spurting. They rejoiced in watching the actual death or process of death. And this is what's happened to our youngsters. Because, of course, amongst other things, in these schools, it is strictly forbidden to mention even the name of the Lord God. Because what is sacred? Certainly not God, but our First Amendment, or the way we understand that First Amendment, the way we want to understand that First Amendment. Poor people. Sheeple. Poor sheeple. Misled. Grave responsibility for the misleaders, like with the death of our Lord. The mass of people cried out, crucify, crucify. They were being misled by the leaders. The grave responsibility was on the leaders, but all the people took part. Same thing today. There is a very grave responsibility before God upon the educators, upon the intellectuals, upon the politicians, I don't know, upon all of those people who are creating this world that we're living in and who want it the way it is, but there's also a grave enough responsibility on the part of all of the poor little people who are following this movement. St. Augustine said many years ago, God never abandons those who have not first abandoned him. If God seems to have abandoned the sheeple of today, it's because those sheeple have abandoned God. And if any of us at any time turns back towards God and begins to look for God and wants to love God, wants to find God, God will never be absent. God will never refuse to let himself be found. It says in the Old Testament, how good is God to those who seek him. And he lets himself be found by those who seek him. And so the poor people who have been misled and who are far away from, have been misled far away from God, if they wanted God, they could still find him. You, my dear friends, found your way back to the real Mass. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here today. You weren't obligated to follow the new religion, which is what it is. A lot of pressures then and now are on you to follow the new religion. All your family look at you as though you have two heads. All your family may be curse you or blame you for being outside the Catholic Church, for being schismatic, for being excommunicated, I don't know what. There are plenty of pressures to this day to make you go the wrong way, to make you go with the Mickey Mouse religion. But you weren't obliged to, and you aren't obliged to do that. You are free. You've used your freedom and your mind to come here, and your faith to come here. Some of you may think that the Mickey Mouse religion is a nasty expression, an exaggerated expression for what's going on in the churches of the Novus Ordo, in the official Catholic churches. I hear all the time reports from people who have to attend weddings or funerals, Catholics, our Catholics who have to attend, and they haven't been there for a long while. They are horrified by what they see. So far, thus far, has the devil triumphed over the people who should have their heads screwed on, who should have their hearts and minds in the right place, who should be anchored in the truth. Catholics. Catholics should be anchored in the truth. But what a triumph of the devil to have got right inside the Catholic Church, from the very top downwards, so that even the mass of Catholics are losing their way, losing their heads, and losing their common sense, and losing their Catholic sense. They're losing it all. But God leaves us with our free will. Of course, in order to make our way towards him, we absolutely need also his grace. Free will is not enough for us to go towards God. There must be his grace. And then our free will works with his grace. His grace pulls towards him. And we are free to say yes or no to that grace which is pulling us towards him. But without the grace, we couldn't pull ourselves. That's why Our Lady of Fatima, you may remember, she appealed to the three little children to pray for the conversion of sinners, so many of whom fall into hell because there is nobody to pray for them. And those three little children did such penance that the Mother of God had to slow them down. They wanted to wear tight cords around their waist right through the night so they could hardly sleep. The Mother of God had to slow down the three little children. Such was their response to her appeal for prayers for the conversion of poor sinners who don't know their right hand from their left. How many people like that today, my dear friends? Scripture says at the end of the book of Jonah that the Ninevites, to whom Jonah had been sent by God to preach, whom the Lord God had cast into the belly of a whale and then made the whale cast him up on shore in order to get Jonah back where the Lord God meant him to be, to preach to the Ninevites. And at the end, Jonah was complaining. He said, "They were terrible sinners, and I preached to them, and I converted. What use was it?" And the Lord God, Jonah is, even after he so successfully preached the conversion of the Ninevites, and they converted, and they were saved from their destruction by Jonah. Jonah complains to the Lord God. The Lord God says, "But look, these poor people, how do you expect me not to have mercy upon them? They don't know their right hand from their left." The Lord God must have a lot of compassion in his heart a mass of compassion in his heart for the mass of poor people today, so far from him, so blind, so deaf. And yet, if the people want to be that way, the Lord God is not going to force them back towards him. What a gift, my dear friends, for yourselves and myself, to have the real faith and to have had the grace to stay with the real faith, to be persevering with the real faith. It's difficult, the real faith. It's hard to live by. It's demanding. A famous English broadcaster once did an interview in a Cistercian monastery. And he saw a little old Scottish monk in this Cistercian monastery. This must have been maybe 40, 50 years ago. He found this little old monk living in the Cistercian monastery. And he said to him, and with the microphone and all the rest, the recording machines, he said, "But how can you endure this difficult life? I can't do the Scottish accent. I would do it if I could, but I won't try." And the little Scottish monk said, "This life of ours, it's a hard bed to lie on, but it's an easy bed to die on. It's a hard bed to lie on, but an easy bed to die on." It's hard for a Catholic in this life, and it's not going to be soft. But it's a house that will stand in that terrible moment of death. Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. And as the world goes mad all around us, my dear friends, cleave to your faith. Hold to your faith. The faith, the Catholic faith, is not kidology. It's not soft, sweet, nice things. It's pretty hard and bitter, as I'm obeying God's law, accepting God's truth and obeying God's law is often hard and bitter. It's vinegar, it's bitter in the mouth, but it's sweet in the stomach. Whereas the modern world is sweet as honey in the mouth, but it's a terrible indigestion in the stomach. And we can't have honey in the mouth and honey in the stomach. It's not possible. Because of Adam and Eve, and because we're all of us sinners, because of original sin, and because sin knocked the whole thing out of whack from Adam and Eve. It's not God's fault. It was Adam and Eve. And ever since Adam and Eve, the rest of us have all been sinners. We can't blame anybody else. But we are out of whack, and therefore it's either honey in this life or honey in the next. And today's world may be so misleading because for the moment, the prosperity is such that more people have more honey in their lives, material honey, than ever. But it's not going to last. It can't last. No way. They're keeping it going right now by smoke and mirrors. It must crash. It's like a man running faster and faster. The credit bubble is like a man running faster and faster in order not to fall. There's a limit to how much faster he can run. And he is going to fall. And there's a limit to how much a credit bubble can be blown up, and it must prick and collapse. How fortunate we are, my dear friends, how fortunate the youngsters, probably mostly youngsters, I'm sure there are some adults also, being confirmed today. Receiving the sacrament of strength. Strength like of St. Peter and St. Paul behind me. Look at those manly figures. Figures of authority. Not figures of revolution or revolt, but figures of authority. Standing for the word of God and for the law of God and for the truth of God. To death, giving their blood. St. Peter crucified upside down. St. Paul with his head hacked off, slashed off by a sword. Great, great men. The pillars, the founding pillars of our church, and there they are still. confirmation of strength, and the saints, including the girls, including the women saints, are saints of spiritual strength, spiritual firmness, spiritual resolution to live and to die for God and for his divine Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous program to live and die for God in today's poor world, which is so without him, which knows so little of him. How the world needs us, my dear friends. You and I are poor sinners, but how the world needs us. We are the salt, we who, by the grace of God, keep the real faith. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A world without light is a world in darkness, and that's what is all around us. And a world without salt, that was like a refrigerator in its day, was the only thing that stopped meat corrupting. Salt was the opposite of corruption. A world without salt is a world corrupt. And that, of course, is exactly what we see all around us. A world giving itself over to corruption. It's wonderful, amongst other things, to see many children. Where else are there many children being born today? All of the Western nations, the birth rate is collapsing. So those nations are dying out. And in Europe, the Mohammedans are sweeping in. For instance, the foreigners from outside are sweeping in. And then the Europeans have the nerve to say, what's happening to our nations? We're losing our own nations to foreigners. It's they who are bringing in the foreigners because they're not having any children. It's their own fault. God bless. May God mightily bless all of you dear young parents who have the courage and the faith to be having children today. Well done. Children are still a blessing from God. And so, many of them being confirmed today, we will pray for them that they live by the program of standing there for God when nobody else will. To stand there for God and for our Lord Jesus Christ and for his blessed mother when nobody else will. And when everybody else wants to tear them down, when everybody else wants to corrupt them, when everybody else wants to bend their mind, when everybody else wants to ruin their morals, they will stand there and will not flinch. Humbly, without defiance, without anger, without bitterness, and if necessary, unto death. Because that's a fast road to heaven. Ah, my dear friends, it's a glorious, in a dark world, it's a blazingly glorious program. But it's not easy. It's not yet physically difficult. It's what's difficult is to keep the mind and the soul straight. And there, prayer. The one thing absolutely necessary is prayer. I'm delighted to hear in the confessional a number of you praying the rosary in the family. Very, very necessary. Leo XIII said a ways back, I think he said, give me a certain, I can't remember the exact name, but give me a number of families praying the rosary and I will save the world. If only there had been enough families praying the rosary, we might have been spared Vatican II. Pray the rosary, and pray the rosary as though it's the most important thing you can do in the day. Let all of the family together pray the rosary, and pray the rosary every day. Of enormous importance. And so prayer is how we will stay on track in order to stand there for God and not give way. Prayer of the rosary. Make use, my dear friends, of the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. Make those five-day retreats, which are also a great help to see clear, to strip away the nonsense and get back to essentials, and to see clearly in all of their harmony and order the great truths of God leading from this life to heaven. The rosary, the spiritual exercises, and of course attendance at Mass. Get to Mass, my dear friends. I'm sure you already do. I'm sure a number of you already attend Mass during the week. Get to Mass during the week. On Sunday, you and I are obliged. During the week, we're not obliged. Where do you think the merits, where do you think God gives the more marks, so to speak? When we're obliged to come to Mass or when we're not obliged? The Lord God must love those souls that get to Mass when they're not obliged to, when they do it because they love Him, when they're doing it again of their own free will, of their own choice, because they love Him and they want to take part in that sacrifice. They want to be there with our Lord. They want to tie in with with the Divine Son, offering Himself on the cross to the Heavenly Father in propitiation for sins, our sins. Prayer, the Mass, the exercises, the rosary. We will pray today for all those being confirmed, that they be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that they live like real Catholics until the day they die. And we will pray also, I always say, for ourselves, who have been confirmed in previous years. We haven't needed to be confirmed twice. To be confirmed once was enough. That strength is always there, available in our souls. That stamp, divine stamp of confirmation upon our souls, the strength is there. We only need to turn to it and to draw upon it. The sacrament is there in our souls, the strength of the light of the Holy Ghost. We will pray for ourselves also, that we live like Catholics. We live and take our stand like Catholics in a poor world which has terrible need of that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.